All right, good morning. Welcome in. It is Thursday as we bring you My Car Guru with the car guru, Lenny Lawson.
Right? Yeah, I was working on my New Year's resolution, and one of them is not to buy any more cars, antique cars.
How's that working for you so far?
Worked really good so far. I've been on a selling mode. I take that back. I did buy something day before yesterday. I forgot about it. I bought a 1949 Buick Roadmaster that has been slightly modified.
Mm-hmm.
It still looks like a Buick Roadmaster.
Mm-hmm.
It still has, and have you know what a front end of a Buick Roadmaster?
Wasn't that the car in Rain Man?
That was a Roadmaster convertible.
Yeah, convertible.
Yeah, that was a two-door Roadmaster convertible. To me, the very best part of this car
is the front, the grill. Oh, yeah.
Don't you just love that?
Yeah.
Doesn't it look like something? Now, I'm showing Tim a picture of this Roadmaster, and all you can see is the front end, and it's because it's up on a lift.
Mm-hmm.
And that is just artwork, isn't it? It looks like you are about to be eaten by a baleen whale, doesn't it?
It does. It just commands, looks like it's getting ready to command you as it comes towards you. Yeah.
Yes. Now, the only problem with this car, this is how the hood opens, Tim. It opens sideways.
Oh, yeah.
Like a clamshell. Mm-hmm. It's a very interesting car. I really like it. It's probably worth what I paid for it. I just don't know what I'm going to do with it. I really didn't want to buy it. A good buddy of mine is elderly gentleman I've talked about many times on the radio show is selling his collection of cars. He has a 56 Studebaker Golden Hawk that he is wanting to sell as well.
Mm-hmm.
There's two Porsche 912s that are in different stages of restoration. One is about 80%. The other is probably not. About 10% have done. There's a lot of work to be done to it. But I have a good friend, David Cook, that used to be the head technician at Rick Hill Porsche. Just a brilliant guy.
Mm-hmm.
A great musician as well. But he is retired now, and he has been helping me with the Porsche aspects of this particular collection. David went to Newport with me to go through this gentleman's warehouse, and we started walking around, and I didn't really comprehend what was there. I am, of course, not a mechanic. I mean, I know a lot about cars and engines and stuff like that, but I couldn't tear your engine down without some assistance.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
I don't even want to tear your engine down.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I like to know what's going on. I think it's important. You know, if somebody says that the main bearings are worn, I know what that means, okay? But I don't know how to replace the main bearings in an engine.
Well, you don't have to know how to take apart a clock and put it back together to tell time either.
No.
So
anyway, David walked around there. He said, "My gosh, Lenny, this is unbelievable." And I said, "What?" He said, "There are parts all over this place that are marketable. These things have value."
Mm-hmm.
We're walking down this one aisle. Now, I'm talking about storage bins that are stacked. They're built out of wood, and they're, you know, kind of wide open, and they're stacked about 15 feet in the air. There's three levels. There's the bottom level, the middle, a level above that, and then the top level.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a bunch of doors and fenders and stuff like that up there. So we're walking down this aisle, and he said, "Lenny, that's an engine case for a 356A. I said, "How do you know?" He said, "Because I've seen them."
Mm-hmm.
My whole life has been restoring and building Porsches and Volkswagens. And he says, "Now that is a piston from a Type 4 VW. I said, "How do you know that?" He said, "I've seen them my whole life."
Mm-hmm.
You know, that you just can't value that experience.
Mm-hmm.
So what he and I did is cataloged. No, let me rephrase that. What he did was cataloged all of these parts. He went through all of them, organized them into groups like engine and transmission, body, interior, electrical, you know, brakes and suspension. So he has these different categories.
That took a while, didn't it?
Oh, I mean, he probably made 5 or 6 trips down there.
Yeah.
He categorized all of these. Then he went online because my customer needs to sell all of this stuff. So then he went online and went on eBay and all these different sources, like on Volkswagen Parts, you go to the Samba. It's called the Samba, and you find out what things are selling for, what people are asking for, what's the retail value. Mm-hmm. And then he used his judgment to either go higher or lower or whatever based on the rarity. I mean, he found a body kit, a fiberglass body kit. So imagine if you have a rusted out Porsche, and you just want to put it back where it looks, you know, looks like a new car, but you don't want to buy all the fenders and stuff because it would cost a fortune to buy that from Porsche. There's a complete body kit. You could, if you had just the chassis, you could put together a car. If you had the roof, the basic structure of the roof, you could put together a car. It's got doors, fenders, hood, spoiler, rear quarter panels. It's got it all there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, what is this? Maybe $2,500? No, this is worth $10,000 minimum. So it's so important to find somebody who knows what they're talking about. You know, can really put the value on something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so he took pictures of everything, and then he said, okay, Lenny, I got it all ready. And he says, it's in your Dropbox. So he put it in my Dropbox, which is a cloud file sharing thing, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then I shipped it out to several different folks yesterday. I just got it. Well, I got it last week. I shipped it out yesterday. By the afternoon, I had two offers on this collection.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm talking about five-figure offers, okay? Middle to high five-figure offers.
Now, this is just the collection of
just
parts.
Just the parts.
Right.
You know, I bet Ron, my guy, I bet he didn't have $10,000 in all of those parts. But because he's collected them over a number of years, and thank goodness they were divided up and spread out and stuff like that so you could see it. You know, you may have stuff hidden in your garage or your barn that has value, has a lot of value.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if it has anything to do with signage or anything like that, call Tim Cable.
That's right.
Absolutely. You know, if it's any type of antique kind of a deal, Tim Cable will buy it, or he'll tell you who will buy it, won't you, Tim? You have connections.
I do, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And he know, and Tim knows what it's worth. You know, if I were to find an old golf sign or something like that, I mean, you could watch a bunch of episodes of American Pickers, or you can call Tim Cable. Now, if you have an old car or if you have some stuff in your garage and you wonder if it's got any value, mm-hmm. you know, you might want to call me because I might be able to give you a little guidance on it. And if I don't know, I know somebody who does know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, obviously the world is your oyster, right? The mm-hmm. Internet has made everything different. I mean, if we can sell a 1995 Jeep CJ7 that's just a average CJ7 with a soft top and a modified engine and lifted a little bit with spray and bedliner in the inside, if we can sell that to a guy in North Dakota, that just shows you, you know, the reach of the Internet and how mm-hmm. important it is to get stuff out there. You know, you may have something in your garage that's basically a shelf. You know, you may have a car that's just covered with boxes and stuff that has value. And if you need some cash, you know, now's a good time to do it because people do have money. There are people out there that are buying cars right now. There's a lot of pent-up demand. The stock market has been really good. And so the folks who had their money invested in the stock market and they're in their, you know, 50s and 60s and stuff, they're in the mood to buy something. They're bored. You know, they want to spend some money, and now's the time to take advantage of that. You know, not everybody's in that shape. You know, a lot of small businesses and people have struggled, been on unemployment. You know, if you're in the medical field, you don't have time to mess with this. You've got too many sick people. You know, I just because I talk about all this stuff and about the car business, don't think that I don't think about all this other stuff that's going on. But that's not what I'm here to talk about, right?
Right.
I'm here to uplift and inspire, right?
Which is what we talked about yesterday.
That's exactly right.
Inspiring. Let's take an inspired break, and we'll be right back right after this. We are back on this Thursday edition of My Car Guru with Lenny Lawson.
We're going to talk about brakes a little bit today, but we're not going to put the brakes on our effort to continue to be inspirational when we can be.
Sounds good, Timmy. Sounds good.
One of the quotes that I saw when I was doing this little bit of research on inspiration and where it comes from was... this one. Stay close to anything that makes you glad you are alive. Stay close to anything that makes you glad that you are alive. When my grandfather, who was an old country doctor in Nitro, West Virginia, when he retired, he gave up. He had to stop because of there were some dementia, early dementia signs that happened. He was a fixture. And, I mean, he was a famous guy, okay, in Nitro, West Virginia. There's a lot of people love Dr. Hoke.
Big fish in a small pond.
You know, he wasn't wealthy. Mm-hmm. I mean, when I go back and look at his books, I mean, I've got some of his old ledgers and stuff where that he would keep. And you go down through there, and it would have a list of all the patients that came in today. And to the right, it would say $6, $3, $12. $8 and stuff like that. But it was full of names, full of people, and every one of those people had something wrong. And, you know, it's his job to help correct that, you know, to make them feel better. But when he had to give up that, he loved to take care of his yard, and he had a beautiful yard there in Nitro on 3rd Avenue in Nitro, West Virginia. So he was able to, you know, still get out and do some trim his hedges and that kind of stuff. But he started painting. And he started, and I, as a kid, you know, I'm thinking, okay, I don't really, I mean, you're not really painting Daddy Hoke. I mean, we called him Daddy Hoke. Because it's paint by numbers. Okay?
Is that what it was?
That's what it was.
Yeah.
It gives me a lump in my throat just saying it. But anyway.
But he enjoyed it,
though. Oh. He loved it. And, you know, the thing about it is as he was doing, you could see the focus and the intensity, you know, that he was trying to stay in those lines and do, you know, get the colors right and stuff like that. And he followed the instructions and the borders to the letter, you know. And so one of my favorite paintings, it's hanging in Abby's house in the main hallway, and it's these two horses that are running. And I look at it, and it says, down in the corner, he had his own little logo. He had a big H, and then the top of the H, he had an L, and then the bottom of the H, he had an I. So, L.I. Hoke, Leonard Iverson Hoke. And I'm named after him, and my granddaughter, whose bedroom that painting hangs outside of, her name is Iverson. We call her Ivy. And hopefully that painting will stay with her, you know, the rest of her life. And what an inspiration, you know, that painting is to us. And it's a paint-by-numbers painting. It's not about whether it's paint-by-numbers, is it?
No.
No. And so,
it's a Picasso to you guys.
Absolutely. And so, you know, find something, you know, that quote, stay close to anything that makes you glad you're alive. I mean, that gave him meaning and purpose. And, you know, I'm building a birdhouse right now with a friend of mine, a friend that retired, and now he's really gotten into woodwork. And, I mean, he's going whole hog into woodwork. And he makes these beautiful laminated cutting boards and stuff like that. He's just, you can see each thing that he makes gets a little bit more sophisticated, and he just gets a little bit better. And he's just loving it. He says, can I make you something? I want to make you something. I said, well, help me with this birdhouse. And so we... you know, I just really loved the design of it and everything. So it was given to me as a gift after our son passed away. And this friend of ours made it, and he wanted us to put that out so that we could look at it and watch the birds and stuff like that. I mean, it was just, what do you give somebody who's in that kind of situation? And, you know, you give them something, an opportunity that will make them feel better, you know, some type of inspirational thing. You know, your inspirational thing may be letter writing, you know, to your family members who don't hear from you. You know, just a nice, loving letter. It may be a photograph or photography. You know, I love photography. And that's something you don't have to be, you know, an athlete to do, you know. You know, my wife wouldn't ride with me ever, you know, on the bicycles. And I bought her electric bicycle. And now we'll ride 20, 25 miles on a bike. You know, those kind of things that you can do. Try not to think about what your limitations are. Think about what you can do with your abilities that you do have, that you still have. You know, and I think that's important. So anyway, that's enough about that. Let's put the brakes on that.
Okay.
You know, there's nothing really more important in your car than to make sure that you can stop. I was driving. I found that the hard way the other day when I was driving that lead sled that I bought, the 1949 Buick Roadmaster. I tested the brakes, Tim, when I was pulling off of the lot. I had brakes. But when I got to the bottom of the hill where the red light was and cars stopped in front of me, I had practically no brakes. Mm. The brakes went to the floor. And thankfully that I did have a strong parking brake. You know, it was there. If I hadn't had a parking brake, I would have just continued to pump those brakes, hoping that they would come back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that I would get some brake, because basically a braking system is a hydraulic system. It's driven by fluid. You know, when you are pushing your foot down on the brake, you're exerting pressure against fluid that is pushing all the way out to wherever your wheel cylinders are, okay? That's causing the brake pads, or in this case, these are drum brakes, to expand and stop the car, okay? Mm-hmm. If there's no pressure, it could be for a number of reasons. Now, what I found out when I got back is that the guys had done the brakes, but they hadn't completely bled the brakes. Now, you know what I mean when I say bleeding the brakes? If air will compress a lot more than a fluid will, okay? So there's basically air in the brake lines that had gotten in when we replaced some of the brake components. Air was able to get into the lines. And they thought that they had that completely bled out. You know, you go to the wheel, you open up a valve, and you open it up until nothing that's... The only thing coming out when you apply brake pressure is fluid. And you do that enough and then seal it up, and then you've got a solid wall or a pipe, basically, that is full of fluid, brake fluid, that will not compress, that will just push, you know, the brakes closed. So, you know, there are different types of brakes. There are, and you can just keep me informed on time, there are, most of the modern brakes that we see are disc brake systems that have a brake caliper, you know, that squeezes a spinning disc, okay? Those are the most efficient kind of brakes. They were invented, you know, back in the 50s and were developed through racing. You know, there's so many different good things come from racing. Drum brakes aren't as efficient. They'll still stop your car. They just won't stop it as quickly, and they'll also fade. Now, you understand what fade means if you've ever driven a vehicle quickly through the mountains, and especially going downhill. Because if you push the brakes down enough, they get hot, okay, and they begin to fail. Brake fade is a problem. I've been to a lot of races, and I've taken pictures of race cars driving past me, and I'm standing right beside them, and you can see the rotors on the brake are glowing. Orange. Yeah, it's because they're so hot. So these are some of the things that you need to be aware of as to why your braking system, you know, could fail and could leave you stranded. We'll talk about a few more right after the break.
Hey, we're back here as we get ready to put the brakes on this Thursday edition of My Car Guru.
You know, certain things can fail on your system, starting at the wheel. Your pads can wear out, okay? And they can do damage to your rotor if you let them get too thin. So it's important to replace your brake pads before they eat your rotor up, because then your brake job almost doubles in price when you do that. But you have brake calipers, which squeeze the actual rotor, and those can fail as well. They can develop leaks over time. They can stick. You know, there's all kinds of issues, especially when you don't drive a car. The master cylinder is the, it's up on the firewall of the vehicle, and basically that determines where the fluid goes. When you put your foot down on the brake, the master cylinder controls where the fluid is going. There's also something called a power brake booster, and this multiplies your effort. The average person can put about 70 pounds. You know, typically when you're stopping, you're putting about 70 pounds of pressure on your car. Well, if you that's because you have a booster, because if you didn't have a booster, you might have to put 150 pounds of pressure on your brakes to have the same amount of stopping power. So it multiplies your power that you have. You can also have brake lines and hoses that deteriorate over time and can start leaking. So find out what components are being replaced on your car. If you have, I never recommend going with aftermarket parts, but there's a lot of people that run garages and stuff that say, Lanny, that the same people make those parts as make the ones from the factory, but I'm a factory guy. I like OEM parts, original equipment manufacturer parts, especially brake pads, because I've seen a lot of aftermarket brake pads squeal after you put, they just can't get it right. So I do think there's a difference in the quality of metal, for example, in rotors. I like factory rotors. I like, and you will pay a little bit of a premium for them, but I'm telling you, it's worth it.
All right. That'll do it as we put the brakes on this edition of My Car Guru for this Thursday morning. We will talk to you again tomorrow morning.